presence of God's here tonight, and I believe He's going to speak into us. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I need the presence of God. I need this time. Praise you, Jesus. In fact, I had a word I want to give to you. If I'd call it a word, it's just a declaration, but I was praying this afternoon, and this dropped in me, and I wrote it down. Praise you, Jesus. You ready for this? In fact, let's go ahead and get this on CD. We'll put this on tonight's message. Let's get started. Praise you, Jesus. We're going to talk about some spiritual principles tonight, in particular the principle of joy and rejoicing, and really about staying focused on the things of the Spirit. I had that vision almost 2 years ago here in prayer of the railroad tracks going into a cloud of glory. Now, we've known the glory's coming to this area for years, right? I mean, that's been the vision for this church since we started it, and vision for my life for over 20 years. But 2 years ago in February, coming up this February, I had a vision of a set of railroad tracks going into a cloud of glory. The glory was so thick, so dense, that if you put your hand into it, up to your wrist, you couldn't see your fingertips. It was that thick. And the Lord said, you're on track to go into the glory. Don't get off track. Amen. And I knew what He meant. He says, keep your focus on where you're going and don't get distracted by the little fires all around. Well, I believe we've had a whole bunch of people get distracted. Amen. I mean, it's amazing. God didn't bring us a word just for our entertainment. They're for our warning, for our admonition, for our, you know, exhortation. The visions and words He brings are to let us know there's going to be something coming along that's going to try to take your focus. Amen. And what happens is people's vision grows weak. They don't see things manifesting on their schedule, so they start putting their eyes on the things of the world, or the rescue systems of the world, or the release systems of the world. And what happens is all of a sudden we don't keep what God has put in front of us in focus, we start to drift off the path He's got for us. Amen. And I'm telling you, we don't want to be those that lose sight of what God says to do. We were put on this planet for God's plans and purposes, not for ours. We're here with an assignment on our life. And this afternoon, as I was in prayer, this dropped in me to bring you this exhortation, this note. And I wrote it down, and it said, the principles being taught in the revivalist church today are not to puff us up with knowledge. The principles being taught are not to create in us, how can I say it, some understanding of theoretical promises. The promises or the principles being taught are here. Let me get the exact wording I put down. Are to allow us to learn how to overcome the challenges we now face. See, when you come in, I don't care who you are, chances are you come in this church, there's challenges in your life. And if there's not challenges when you come in, you won't be here long. The devil will create some to try to get you out. He's going to create some circumstances trying to get you out of revival. Because the devil knows when the glory manifests, he's done. He knows that the people ever find out that there really is anointing and power in the church, he's finished. So he's got to attack those that try to make a connection to revival. You know, it's kind of like trying to think of a good example. If you're going to go up against an opponent and you've got some training, you want to catch him before he's trained. You know, if you want to defeat some soldiers, get them before they finish boot camp. Before they learn how to march, before they learn how to shoot that gun and do things. Don't get them after they've been at battle for 6 years. You know, they've done two tours at Afghanistan and Iraq and everything else. Get them when they're still in training. Because that's when you're going to have the best opportunity to take them out. So the enemy knows once you've been in here for a while, you're going to get solidified in the teachings. He knows once you learn how to survive a flood, you'll know how to stand through the next one. See, I'm not worried about Rebecca jumping up and running out of here. For one, I know where she lives. And two, she stood through enough onslaughts that if the devil hadn't taken her out by now, it's going to be very hard for him to take her out. And you guys have been connected very long. You've learned how to go through the floods. But the enemy is always wanting to bring an onslaught against people that are just connecting or haven't developed, how can I say, battle toughness to get them to uproot and go somewhere else, to quit. Well, I really don't like this military stuff. Listen, I'm not the one that makes this militaristic. You follow me? You don't have to salute me. You follow me? You don't have to obey all my commands. It would just be wisdom for you to. Just kidding. That was for the sake of humor, those listening by CD. But God says we're good soldiers. God says we're an army that doesn't break rank. Amen. God compares us to a military force. And there's going to be attacks against soldiers. They are the front line of defense for those that don't know anything. And so the enemy's going to try to attack you to get you uprooted. So what we're learning here is not just so we can, you know, say, well, I go to the church where we see miracles. It's so you as well can learn how to stand in the power of God. Because the enemy is going to try to take you out. You know, we have a lot of spectatorship church in the world, especially in America. We have flocks go to Benny Hinn, they go to the crusades, they go to the conferences, you know, they go to the one where they're going to see some miracles take place. And we have people that love to see the power of God, but we have too few that are learning how to activate the power of God. So what happens is, you've got a person like Benny Hinn, he's always got to have another crowd coming. He's got to go to another city to get another crowd because the former ones aren't developing. He's got to go someplace where he can get some more people to be excited about it. Did you follow me on that? He's not pastoring. He's demonstrating. He's evangelizing. And God says, you know, a key part of growing up in Christ is to be pastored. And the job of the pastor is to demonstrate to you the power of God. It's there to be, you know, to manifest the gifts, but also to teach you how to live as an overcomer. And you are in here to learn how to win. You follow me? You're in here to learn how to carry your spiritual weapons. How to speak the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, right? We're here how to learn how to take the current circumstances we're in and win. But it doesn't stop there. We're here in training and in development to learn how to be able to overcome the floods that are going to hit the world in the near future. Because the events you're in now are minor compared to what's going to come to the world. If you believe, you know, what we've been talking about regarding the prophetic, there are coming major assaults against the world system. Right now, the European Union is on the precipice of economic collapse. They are juggling financial balls and calling for help in every form they can get just to keep the euro afloat. If it collapses, it will have catastrophic impact upon the world financial system, most likely. Amen? And it's right there, and the whole world's like, oh, well, just another, you know, financial situation. No, we're talking about a union of nations. Their financial currency is about to collapse. And, you know, we're just kind of like, oh, just another day. It's not just another day. This world is, see, God's getting it ready for financial inversion. But this world is going to go through some hard times. See, right now, you get under financial pressure, you can always turn to a credit card. You can always turn to, you know, finding someplace to borrow some more money, chances are. Unless you've maxed all that out. There's coming a time soon, there will be no money to borrow. There will be no financial institutions that have anything to give you. I mean, that's a possibility. And we're going to be at a point that if we don't know how to use the Word of God as a tool to supply ourselves, if we don't know how to draw from the riches and the storehouses of the kingdom of God, we're going to be in lack. I mean, more than lack, we could be along with the world falling into a pit. And we're here learning how, in training now, how to survive the onslaught to come. You guys following me? Because Jesus talked about it. He said there's coming major catastrophe. And I understand there's a great tribulation coming, But there's going to be major shift in the world before that takes place. Before the rapture takes place, there will be economic, chaos in this world system. And you know, if you've ever, I was not in the military, BJ was. Who else in here was in the military? Anybody? Brian was in the military. Frank in the military, that's right. And I've seen the shows, I've seen the things where they're training the soldiers how to carry the gun and not drop it. They're teaching them how to clean their gun, you know, in field conditions. And then the one I'm thinking about is where they're teaching them how to crawl through the mud under the barbed wire with a machine gun shooting over their head. Anybody ever seen those things? Did they do that with you? Well, I always watch the movies or whatever, and they're training the soldiers. And what they do is, you know, Band of Brothers or whatever, they'll have them crawling through the mud holes through this long thing. There'll be barbed wire they're crawling under. And over their heads are going machine guns so they don't dare stand up. And it's all training. And the truth is, if they will just keep their head down and keep crawling, they're going to survive that training. Did you follow me on that? If they'll just go through what they're being instructed, they will survive that training and come through learning how to keep their head down. But we're coming, and see, I would compare that to what we're in right now. What we're in right now, if you'll just come in here and keep your head connected to the Word of God, you follow me? If you won't let your head get too inflated, too puffed up, thinking you know it all, and you just keep learning and applying, you'll come through every attack. There is nothing new under the sun. There's not an attack the enemy will bring you cannot survive right now by the Word of God. I don't believe there's a situation in anybody's life God can't deliver them from if they'll just let God. Not a one. Anybody with me? If you just learn the training exercises, you will win. You'll come through it okay. Now, you may come through with some mud on your uniform. You follow me? You may come through with, you know, you got to clean your gun a time or two. But you're going to come through it. You may even, you know, get poked by a few, you know, barbs of barbed wire. You know, you get hung on a barbed wire and rip your uniform and get poked a little bit and bleed a little bit on your arm. You're going to have some little situations like that in the times we're in now. But what we're going into will be live fire, real warfare, compared to what we're in right now. I believe we're coming to a time. See, in the training, they're not going to lob any live grenades down there among you to see who will fall on a grenade. They're not going to do anything to really put you in danger, you know, physically. But what we're going into, if we don't learn now how to come through the training opportunities now, there's coming a time that when they're really lobbing the grenades in, when the devil's letting everything go, we may not be able to survive. Did you follow me? I mean, when stuff's really being cut loose, when the economic system's gone and there is no food to buy. I mean, you know, Israel, when they went into the wilderness, they had to believe God for manna. God had to bring quail in. They had to see supernatural food supply. There was no water. They had to believe God and see God. Really, well, shouldn't say believe God. They had to receive from God supernatural water supply. We are in a position that potentially could happen in our lives. And you won't be able to store up enough water under your house to make it through. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to alert you. We're coming into a time that if economic systems collapse, then Kroger store is liable not to be around. And we may have to believe God for supernatural food and water supply. No fuel for your cars. That's a possibility. You know, war breaks out in the Middle East. This nation has no ability to fuel itself. So, you know, you need gas for your house to heat it. May not be any. I mean, the number one gas line in America, I believe it runs near Memphis, Tennessee. I believe all the gas in the nation kind of runs through Memphis, Tennessee, they say, and there's a major earthquake fault along it. That breaks. You follow me? The right bomb place, we could be without gas. Are you willing to believe God to heat your house supernaturally? I'm just kind of moving out on this right now. I remember the story Pastor Philip Derber tells, that when he had first gotten saved and he was seeking God with all of his heart, and God had taken him into fasting and just getting alone with Him. And one time God said, "I want you." Behind his house, his farmhouse, was a little shed. Little bitty shed, and he had in the little shed, he made it his prayer room. Put in there a little wooden stove. And God told him he wanted him to go out there and to spend 3 days shut up in that shed and just seek Him. So he said, okay, and he went in the room there and built him a fire, and it was winter. It was cold outside. And, of course, this little shed's got no insulation, nothing like that. So he builds him a fire in there, got it nice and toasty, if I remember the story right. And he goes to praying, and I don't remember if he fell asleep or whatever, but when he woke up, the fire was out, but the room was still warm. And he said, "God, I need," you know, he doesn't say it. He says, "I got it." Well, he's telling himself, "I got to get some more firewood in here." So he's going outside the shed to bring in more firewood. He's already got cut out there. And God says, "If you'll believe me for it, I'll heat this place for you without a fire." He says, "Okay." And so he just spends time in there. And I don't know if it's a day or whatever. He doesn't come out. He stays in that room, in that little shed, with no heat in the winter, no insulation, and it stays toasty. And finally, after I don't know how many hours or whether it's a day or whatever, he can't take it anymore. He's got to see what's going on. Maybe there's a heat wave outside. He's got this voice saying, you know, it's Indian summer kicked in. It's 80 degrees out there. He opens the door to check, and it's freezing. And immediately the temperature in his little shed went to zero or whatever, and he's in there freezing the rest of the time trying to get another fire going. Because he doubted, he lost that blessing. There was the other time, since I'm on this story, this happened to me before, but in one time in particular, Pastor Philip, everywhere he went, he had to believe God for gas. I mean, they'd plan it to have enough gas to get to church and back. They lived out near Wilmore. And one time he had to go, I think it was pick up his mom from the airport or something like that. They didn't have enough gas. And he says, "God, I need a miracle." He ran out of gas so many times believing God. He said, "I'm believing you for gas," or whatever, you know, "I'm going to make this," and you run out of gas. Well, this one time he's driving and his gauge goes zero. He knows he doesn't have enough gas, but he's got to go pick up his mom at the airport. He says, "God, I need a miracle." And he drives to the airport and gets his mom, and he doesn't run out. He drives all around and it doesn't run out. In fact, he tours him. He decides, "This is a miracle. I believe God for gas long enough. I'll never need gas again." He's driving all over the place, touring his mom around out in the country. He's done all these errands, you know, picked up groceries, everything. His tank has been out of gas forever. And I think he was getting near home, and he turned to his mom or to Alberta, one or the other, and he says, "You know what? I got this face stuff down." And the car goes, "Boop, boop, 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 boop." Ran out of gas right there. As soon as it came out of his mouth, that his head got puffed up and thought he knew enough, that's where the miracle ceased. Now that's what I'm getting at. We've got to be those that keep our focus on learning how to believe God. You can't assume that all the support systems we have today are going to be there. And if you can't learn to believe God for, you know, a Pepsi Cola today, you're going to be in trouble just trying to get water later. Potentially. Am I getting too far out there for you? You study it. You'll find out through the history of Scriptures, whenever the people of God were in trouble, they would be without food, maybe without water, they would be without supply. And some things don't shift. And we in America have gotten so comfortable, you know, knowing we've always got, you know, Walmart on the corner, thinking it'll always be there for us and we'll always be able to, you know, charge up a credit card to get what we need. We've gotten used to not having to believe God for the miracle. And we're in training right now to believe God to meet our needs and take us through the battles. Because I'm convinced there's coming challenges to the body of Christ that Walmart can't supply for. or Walmart may not be around to supply for. I mean, we've seen so many major companies already collapse that look like, you know, stable systems. GM, you know, bankrupt, the government having to buy them out. American Airlines on the verge of declaring bankruptcy. Their stock's gone down to virtually zero. I mean, major companies are collapsing. And we as Americans are just kind of oblivious to it. This system is in major, major danger. We're so far in debt that it's held up by imagination, this nation's financial system. It's held up by just people's imagination and dreams. There's nothing supporting it whatsoever. And if Europe goes, there's a good chance the rest of the world will go with it. Right now, only China is building any kind of stockpile of financial reserve, and that's because of the labor class they have that's working for pennies, you know, on the iron. The government's making all the money and buying our companies and properties with it. This church is not about just demonstrating to you what God can do. It's about training us how to overcome what the enemy is trying to bring across our path. And those that pass the training, those that learn how to go through the battles, they will be properly equipped for when the war really kicks in. But those that can't pass basic training, we'll just call this basic training we're in right now. Those that can't pass basic training, they're not going to be able to manifest in the time to come. And they can say, well, I went to that faith church, you know, for 5 years, and I'm a revivalist. But were you applying what you were learning? Were you learning how to stand? I believe it was last week we started talking about the signs of a mature Christian, the attributes of a Christian that has grown up. And of course, a couple of those attributes are, one is you can't offend them, and two, they won't quit. The mature Christian can have everything collapsing in around them, and they will not be moved from off of what the Word of God says. So they will sit in their chair and say, God, I'm your servant, I'm your child, I'm a son of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I refuse to quit. Now, supply, you come to me now. Devil, you get off of my head. I'm the healed. I'm the prosperous. I'm the blessed. And that's with nobody looking. You're not doing it to be seen. You're determined that the Word of God is going to work in your life. And you're not moving until God brings His promise. Even better yet, God's already supplied it until the devil quits holding it back. You stand on the Word. And it's those that can stand when it looks like it's going to collapse are the ones that are passing the training. Those that every time, you know, a hardship hits, they jump out and, you know, and flee to some other source of supply or some other source of relief. Every time the pressure hits, you know, they jump and find another church. They're not going to pass. They're not going to pass. You're not going to pass until you can stay in the same seat and go through the same attack in the fashion you come through it victorious. And I'm telling you, this is why a lot of people may not want to come to the revivalist church, because it's not all, oh, God is love, He loves you, and everything will be rosy someday over in heaven. Just don't worry about it now. I'm not allowed to delude you. You follow me? And I got to let you know, there's going to come times the enemy's going to try to slap your head. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, we raise up a standard. You know, we've had even people try to turn that verse around. I can't turn it around. I believe it's in right context. We've had people try to say, when the power of darkness comes in like a flood, we raise up a standard. I'm telling you what, I've been flooded by darkness. I've had darkness try to overwhelm my soul. I've had where nothing could come out of my mouth except, I can't quit. I can't quit. I praise you, Jesus. and tears because of the pressure. It'll come as a flood. And I'm required to let you know this so when the flood hits, you won't be shocked by it. They will hit. And I'm trying to tell you when it does hit, or you're just using your faith, we get slammed. No, I'm telling you. The enemy, you don't have to use your faith to get slammed. He's going to try to slam you. I'm telling you, I'm trying to tell you this to prepare you. When you get slammed, you can go through it victorious. Because what happens in most people's life, they get slammed, they just find another church. So the enemy lifts up the pressure because, you know, he got them out of where they were, where there was, you know, a promise of power. He just moves them to a dead church, and now he's happy. He lets up the pressure. We got to be those that can just sit there and say, in Jesus' name, I shall not be moved. And go through. And those that go through, that pass those tests, then later when the real battle comes, you'll have already known how to stand. You're ready for that promotional step. Amen? You're ready for supernatural manifestation. If you didn't have food to feed your family, no money to buy it, no supply to get it, what would you do in that situation? You want to know what most people would do, even most Christians? They'd probably have to revert trying to steal it from somebody. You follow me? Where can I get it? I got to feed my family. You're going to go to whatever means you can to feed your family. But those that learn to stand will say, God, you said the righteous are never forsaken. Came out of David's mouth. He says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. I refuse to steal. I'll not beg. You will supply. And you'll sit there until God brings manna to your home in whatever fashion. Maybe the pantry was empty and you opened the door. You've been believing God to open it, and it's just supernaturally filled with little Debbie cakes. Or whatever manna from heaven, right? Java shop milkshakes start manifesting all on your refrigerator. God is going to show off supernatural manifestation in these end times. But it's only those that can believe Him now to get through the situations they're in. Now, is there going to come a time that we have to believe God for our pantry to be filled? I don't know. But I know this. I know in most situations of the past where there were, manifestations of the curse in a fashion that brought inversion, famine was almost always connected to it. Famine is all through the Scriptures. And I'm telling you what, there's not a deer out there right now to supply every country boy that's going to need something to eat. Or fish in the creek. We've got to be those that go through. Now I want to get into this going through in a little more detail. To go through an attack requires you maintain your faith intact. You follow me? If you're going to go through an attack and you're going to receive supernaturally, you've got to maintain your faith connection to the supply. And to maintain your faith connection to the supply means that you really believe you have received what you have said that you need. Why are y'all looking at me like that? For you to properly go through an attack by faith means you really believe you're going to receive. You really believe that God's going to supply. I'm telling you what, a person that's in faith for food, they'll keep checking their pantry. I mean, you're believing God for increase, you're going to check the pantry. You're going to check the refrigerator. You know, you're believing God for money? I mean, it was Pastor Jim or whoever would go check the mailbox 3 times a day because he believed in God for money. Maybe somebody brought a check and put it in there. Amen. I'm believing God for money now. You're going to take steps that demonstrate. You're going to maintain your faith connection. And if you really believe that you have what you've decreed you receive, then you'll be praising God for it. You'll be praising God for it. When I had those migraine headaches, I'm slamming my head on the dash. I'm saying, I'm healed, and I praise you, Jesus, because this can't stay in my life. I'm delivered from migraine. Slam my head on the dash again. I'm healed. I'm praising God because I believe I've received it. I believe it belongs to me. When you really believe the promise of God, regardless of the conditions you're in, you will praise God in that situation. Now, that doesn't mean you're enjoying it at the moment. I didn't enjoy slamming my head on the dash. I didn't enjoy many of the things I had to do to manifest healings or whatever the blessing was. But I believed I received, and I'm going to praise God for it. Do you follow me? So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we were here a couple weeks ago, but let's look at it again. I believe we went here. See, we have people miss church because they don't realize this is a collegiate course. They don't realize there's an impartation when they come here. They're to receive to help them pass. We get over in the mindset of just, well, it's just church. It's just another entertaining lesson. It's just another nugget. And, hey, what's the big deal if I miss one? You are liable to miss on what you need to pass that test. And too many times we are involved in things that deal with great power. I was raised up, came out with an engineering degree, and when I went into industry, I was trained in electricity. It's one of the main things I worked with was electrical operations, electrical equipment. And I learned about wiring. I learned wiring methods. I learned wiring the National Electric Code. I learned how to wire. And so in the past, 34 years, I have done a lot of wiring. I don't know how many churches I've wired or wired in, how many houses. I've done a lot of wiring. I know the code. And I can do it right. And I have people all the time asking me, hey, I'm thinking about, putting this equipment in my house. What do you think? And usually I think, don't. Do you know anything about electricity? Well, no. But can you tell me? No. You don't want to mess with electricity if you don't know anything about it. Now, you may be able to put a light switch in, but you don't want to go about, adding equipment to your house, not knowing the wire size, not knowing the wiring methods. If you don't light yourself up, you're liable to burn your house down, which we don't want. Not to mention, if you burn a house down and it's not the code, they may not pay your insurance if they find out, it was done improperly. And so I tell people, don't mess with that. That is real power. That's real electricity. And you get a hold of the wrong wire, you don't know what you're doing, I may have to go do your funeral. You follow me? So you have to be trained to operate in that type of power. It's one thing, to hammer two before. You might hit your thumb. But you grabbing, 220 volts, you can toast something. And so in the same fashion, we're here learning how to work with high voltage. We're here learning how to operate with the power of God. And you don't want to, this Bible's like the code. It's the universal God code. The principles of the kingdom. And you don't want to miss the lessons on how to survive an attack, how to overcome, how to manifest. We get over into some tribulating times, and there's going to be some before the rapture. Not the great tribulation. Not hailstones away 100 pounds coming down on earth. That's for another group. There's going to be famine in the land. Financial famine, if nothing else. And you don't want to be in the middle of it and say, now what was it? Did I miss church that time he was talking about how to manifest food? Don't want to be there. This is training for the time to come, not to mention training on how to overcome right now. Just for fun, for a show of hands, how many here? I know Pastor Chad's the exception. How many here, though, when you came to church, you needed some overcoming power in your life? I mean, there's some stuff you needed God's help to get free of. See all those hands going up? I know when I got saved, I'd been a drunk for 12 years, recreational drugs for 10, not to mention all the, how can I say, out-of-bounds lifestyle stuff I'd been involved in. And the night I got saved, every bit of it was supernaturally broken off. The night I got saved, I never had to, it's been 27 years, 27 and a half almost, I have never desired another drop of alcohol. In 27 and a half years, I've never lit up another J. Never did another illicit pill. Never. Never hit the bars. In fact, since the night I got saved, I've never flirted with another woman. That was God's supernatural power coming on me to set me free. And God don't want it just starting with our deliverance. He wants it. That was like Israel coming out of Egypt. He wants them to teach us how to go into supernatural supply. The reason Israel couldn't go straight into the promised land and they had to wander for 40 years is because they couldn't believe that God would take them to a place, a land flowing with milk and honey. They were more focused on the giants in the land. The demons running the thing. And God wants to train us up how not to be held back by focusing on what the devil's doing and focus on God's ability to supply. God's ability to cause us to overcome. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? Can I get a hoorah? Never mind. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, it's all good. Let's go to verse number 6. It says, wherein you greatly rejoice. Greatly rejoice. Greatly rejoice. Have you ever found out there were times it was hard to rejoice? Did you know the enemy's after your rejoicer? He's targeting your rejoicer. The oppression is trying to steal your rejoicing. You rejoice, though now for a season. Can anybody define to me what a season, what represents a season? Temporary. That's a key word. When I think of a season, I think of like summer. It's too temporary. It starts in, you know, the end of spring. It ends in the beginning of fall. I have so many months of perfect motorcycle weather. It's temporary. Right? It's got a start point and it's got an end point. It has an end point. Seasons always have an end point. And he says, here right now, you're in heaviness for a season. You're in heaviness through manifold temptations, tests or trials. Temptations are seasonal if you can come through them. Did you follow me? Temptations are only temporary if you learn how to stand on the Word of God. Now, if you don't learn how to stand, then a temporary season becomes a lifetime appointment. There are people that carry oppression all their life. There are people that carry symptoms all their life. Pastor Callan talks about that lady that had the headache for 11 years, I believe it was. For 11 years. That's not a season. That's a big part of your life. And the whole time there was power in the Word available to deliver her from that season. But there are seasons of heaviness. There's seasons the enemy's going to come in like a flood. Now, you know what? If the enemy comes in and I lose $20, let's just say somehow, you know, something happens where something breaks, it costs me $20. Devil caused something to break. I don't go into oppression. You follow me? Oh, I've lost $20. But if something happens, I lose $10,000. I will have to fight oppression. You follow me? Something happens where, you know, something was, some opportunity was pulled out from under your feet. You may have to fight some oppression. Where heaviness is entertained. The level of heaviness is determined to a great level of what the threat of loss is. God wants to make those seasons of heaviness temporary. The point is, something's going to happen to open the door to that heaviness, to that oppression. And God wants us to be quick to recover from those and go on into full victory. Amen? He's using heaviness for a season, verse 7, that the trial of your... And notice back in verse 6, through manifold temptations. I was talking to BJ the other day, her and Alvy, about one of my favorite movies. It's one with Mel Gibson called We Were Soldiers. You guys ever see We Were Soldiers? It's about a battle. If you ever get the chance to watch it, it's one of the greatest war movies ever made. It's a true story. At the beginning of the Vietnam War, Mel Gibson was the commander, captain, I guess, took his troops into this hillside. They all flew in by helicopter. And they're holding this hill. And the North Vietnamese army wants to take them out. They want a massacre. They feel if they can massacre the American troops in this early battle, they'll get America to pull out. And so what do? They take their entire force. They march in soldiers from everywhere. They're showing them marching in at night with torches, these trails all full of soldiers coming in against a few hundred Americans. They're going to bring in thousands of troops. And when they let the signal to attack go, they had soldiers attacking the Americans from every direction. So Mel Gibson, keeping his cool, I mean, it was a phenomenal party play. He actually studied this guy to play his part. He's radioing in artillery to one spot. He's got planes flying in, napalm in another spot. He's got his troops all massing on one front over here to stop this attack from overwhelming them and massacring them. And they can't leave, because if they start to leave, there won't be enough troops to hold it. And so the enemy is bringing every force he's got in them like a flood to get them to break. And I don't want to tell you the end of the movie, but they hold, you follow me, overcome, and the enemy has to flee. Just to put it in that fashion. That's what happens in the real world, in the realm of the spirit, with attacks. He brings everything he can against you at one time. Hits you from the front, from the back, from both sides, top and bottom. He hits you in every area of your life. All of a sudden you're fighting sick symptoms. Your finances are getting hit. Your relationships are being challenged. You know, work's not going good. Everything's being assaulted at one time. It's called a flood. But the thing is, if you will stand your ground, even though you don't realize it, God's bringing artillery over to this side. He's got napalm coming over to this side. He's got, you know, angels massing over here. He's taking out demonic assault in every direction. But all you feel is just the pressure of the attack. But God's fighting on your behalf because you won't move. You're speaking the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And you stand for that season. All of a sudden, it all breaks at one time. It all breaks at once. You realize, why was I even upset? I knew God would come through. You give the testimony. Oh, yeah. You know, I just believed God and I had my manifestation. You didn't tell the whole story. You didn't tell about the tears. You didn't tell about the pain, the pressure. You didn't tell about how you wanted to quit, but you didn't. You follow me? You just told about, I got the victory. Hey. I'm telling you, there is a pressure point in these things. And can I throw in one more aspect of the attacks? For most women, the enemy knows what time of the month to attack as well. Because there's an internal pressure going on to intensify it. It's not all just the season you're in physically. It's the devil adding to the assault during that time. Now see, when I got married, I was raised with all brothers. My sister was 8 years younger than me, and almost nine. And I wasn't raised with girls. I didn't know anything about these mood swings. I was ignorant. People told me. I just didn't know until I got married. And most of the time, I'm king of the world. I'm Mr. It, you know. Hero. I can kill bugs. I can fix washing machines. I'm it. I'm not picky about what she cooks. But then all of a sudden, there'd be a shift early on. And all of a sudden, this one that thought I was so wonderful, all of a sudden, you know, claws were coming out. Fangs. And I think, where did this come from? And in the midst of it, my world collapsed. I went from hero to zero. I'm in negative numbers for the mathematicians. Imaginary numbers. And for the engineers. My whole world crashed. It would crash. And she'd be in bed crying. I said, what's wrong? Nothing. Oh, what? Why are you crying? You didn't put the lid down. I'm sorry. Why are you crying? You know, whatever it might have been. And usually she says nothing, you didn't do anything, but then, you know, stuff would come out that I didn't do right. And I'd be crushed. And then a week later, everything'd be fine again. And I was a little slow on this one. I was just a little slow on this one. It took me about 10 years to catch on. Cycle. With seasons. Hero, zero. Hero, zero. All I got to do is stay out of the way and survive the zeros, and I can be hero again. Amen? Feats of greatness, buy chocolate. Kill bugs, find roses. Just survive. All I had to do was survive the dips. And the peaks were great. Did you follow me? All I had to do is not quit. Because I'm telling you, those first years, when she'd hit those lows, I wanted to quit. God, I didn't marry this. She did not act like this when we were dating. I did not agree to this. This was not in my vows. Amen. I said, till death do us part, but we said nothing about Dr. Jekyll. Now, it wasn't that bad, you follow me. But I come to recognize it's a season. And it came to the point, it's come to the point. Now, I tell her what her schedule is. Because I can read the emotional, you know, signs and wonders. And I don't get freaked out anymore. After 27 years, I've learned. Now, the point is the devil works the same way. He comes in with an assault that looks like it's going to last forever, but the word says it's a season. And all you got to do is learn how to go through the attack in the right fashion, not letting go of your faith, keep speaking what the word says until the flood lifts. So here's another example. Lived around Elkhorn Creek now for some time. Different rivers. And I learned when it rains a whole lot, the creek goes up. When it rains a lot, the creek may flood. You know, in Frankfort, they've got Buck Run Baptist Church right on the forks of the Elkhorn, where the North Fork of the Elkhorn and the South Fork come together, you know, on its way to the Kentucky River. And right there, when it rains a whole lot, their entire parking lot floods. Here a while back, it flooded the church. Water came in the church. And you know what? The church doesn't go, oh no, let's just shut it down. We can't have meetings here. The place is underwater. They know eventually the water's going down. And all I got to do is do some cleanup and go back into business. You got to know that your goal is during the flood is just minimize the cleanup necessary. Keep your mouth speaking right. Keep doing the right things so you don't have such a mess to clean up once you get through the assault. What do you mean cleanup? Well, you know, you're under attack, so what do? You start cursing your faith. That didn't work. Nothing goes right for me. I hate it. You get in God's face. I know people get in God's face. You said, God, and I'm not serving you anymore. I'm not going back to church because you, hey, that's a mess. Well, going off God is the stupidest thing you can do. And second to that is going off on other people. And then there's the other mistakes or messes we make. Charging up everything on a credit card because I need a vacation. Eating everything in the closet. And then you need, you know, to fast for 6 months to overcome that. In the attack, go through it, refusing to quit, and minimize the mess, the residue left over once the flood lifts. It's for a season. And it says, your faith, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let's pause here for just a second. It says here, your faith trial is more precious than of gold. Now understand, the trial's not precious. The faith is what's precious. You follow me? And it says your faith, if you'll develop it, if you'll maintain it, if you won't let loose of it, it's more precious than gold that perishes. I believe we have a word from God here. There's coming a time, potentially, and I believe it's going to happen. There is coming a time, I don't care what gold reserves you stored up. It won't buy what you need. When Israel was surrounded by the Assyrian army, they were using their money to buy horse's head and dove's dung. No amount of wealth was going to get them a T-bone. Gold is valuable. God says gold is good, right? In Genesis chapter 2. Gold's valuable. But it's not as valuable as food on your plate, clothes on your back, amen, shelter over your head. It's not as valuable as that. Health in your body. And God said, don't worry about the things of the world. He says, I will clothe you, I will feed you, and I will shelter you. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all that will be supplied. God is looking to supply everything we need for the time to come. And yet we got saints, you know, people are, they know the hardships are coming. And this is fine. If you want to store up some bags of flour and rice, that's fine. You may do it myself some. Some more as we see the day approaching. But anybody can store up. There's the Christians, there's multitudes storing up food right now. Glenn Beck's talking about the seed bank and store up all the food you can. He's talking about collapse. And there are non-Christians listening to it and doing it. There are shelters being stored full again, and they don't know a thing about faith. Which tells me that's not going to be the solution. That's going to come to it's going to be, how can I say, spent. It's nothing in the midst of the curse for every bit of stored food to get buggy. For rats or mice to break in and take it. God's looking for a people that will believe Him not for just how to store food, but how to believe Him for supernatural manifestation. He gives us signs all the time of it happening. We see signs in the Word with man and quail. We see signs with Jesus multiplying bread and fish. If you've seen faith like potatoes, God wants to do that. Have y'all seen that? In Faith Like Potatoes, it's a true story of an Australian pastor that God told him to plant potatoes. And he plants potatoes and they never come up. He plants a huge field full of potatoes and not a single plant ever comes above ground. It's dead. And God told him, keep speaking over it. It's a faith movie. Keep speaking to them. Speak potatoes into place. But it's dead. There's no plants. For you guys that don't know anything about farming, you cannot grow potatoes without a plant. In the natural. And the entire summer, they're in the midst of a drought. No plants are growing. Nothing's happening. Everybody's harvest is wiped out. And God says, keep speaking over yours. When it comes time for the harvest, they drive the truck out there to get the potatoes. And people are laughing. There are no potatoes. But God told them to go out there and harvest. And he takes his fork or his shovel, whatever it was he had. He digs in the ground where there should be potatoes. And when he turns up, there's huge potatoes. A harvest of potatoes. God was growing them underground supernaturally. And that is a true story. And when nobody else had potatoes, they had potatoes. I'm telling you what, I would not be surprised with these end times. God says, go out in your backyard and dig whatever vegetables you need. Dig and get tomatoes from underground. I don't know what's going to happen. But God's not limited. And the enemy's trying to take us out with these little oppressive assaults now while we're in basic training before the real thing hits. And we cannot be those that grow weary in well-doing and quit. Now I know this is going way deep into, you know, what some would call fantasy land. But too much of Christianity is caught up in just believing things are going to stay the same. They're not. This world is about to see a quantum shift in the way it operates. And God's going to have a people prepared to thrive in it. We are the quantum generation. Quantum, I'm talking about supernatural operation. Where stuff in the quantum realm of atomic physics, in a quantum realm, stuff doesn't obey the normal laws of physics. They don't obey the laws of time. They don't obey the laws of position. They don't obey the laws of speed. Nothing obeys normal laws. They become unpredictable. I believe when you get under the level, you're actually stepping over into the realm of the spirit, and you're starting to step into spiritual connections, and things start to operate by spiritual laws. And God's raising up a quantum people in these end times that will watch God do the supernatural. See, I believe some of the things God wants to do is you get your paycheck cash, you count it, and there's 20 extra dollars in there. God says, count it again. Now there's 200 extra dollars. He says, count it again. Now there's 2,000 extra dollars. Can we believe God for that stuff? It sounds great tonight, doesn't it, under the presence of God? But when the pressure hits, when all of a sudden you need to pay bills and you need $2,000, what do we do? We are the generation God wants to take the land with. Supernaturally. Just march around Jericho, watch the walls fall. All Israel had to do was take the presence of God with them. They'd win every battle. He wants to do the same thing with us in these end times. Stay in faith, stay in the presence of God, stay connected, and watch God move. Now, we didn't even get to my message tonight. We were going to talk about rejoicing through to victory. But understand right now that if you really believe in God, you will rejoice. You may rejoice through tears. You may rejoice through sorrow and pain. You may rejoice in every bit of faith you got, but you'll rejoice because you know God's not the problem. And if you rejoice, if you will praise Him, you will come through it. Those that embrace the sorrow and say, it's always the same, it's always been the same, we've always been broke, we've always been sick, it's always been bad, and won't look at the good points, and stay under that heaviness. I refuse to stay there. How about you? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. We thank you, Lord God.